one time last year.
We received on the board special magistrate by the Orlando County Value Adjustment Board for the Syrian, which is in petition number 20-067. Petitioner, would you state your name, please?
Certainly, Jerry O'Coin with Walmart Incorporated.
Okay, Mr. O'Coin, I believe you've been through the process before. You have any questions about my role in the process, the AD process?
No, I think I'm set. Thank you.
Okay. Property appraisers, would you state your name, please?
Melissa Cullen.
Kim Ortiz.
Doug Mack.
Okay, let's go ahead and swear everyone in for the hearing. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
I do.
Are you going to be presenting?
Yes.
You can give me that, and you can go ahead and read the parcel number of values and present your evidence in this petition, please.
Please turn to page one. It's marked page one, but it's about 4 or 5 pages back. It's the subject property record card. The parcel number is R09-423-210000-0020-0020. And the just, assessed, and taxable value is all the same. It is. $45,690,078. And I also have that typed up on page 21 of the packet. Sometimes our property record cards are a little blurry in these packets. I have included on page 12 an aerial photograph of the property. And on page 13, an aerial photograph giving you an idea of the location of the property. Pages 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18 are photographs of the structures on the property. And if you will please turn to page 19. This is the Walmart Distribution Center, which is owned by Walmart Stores, Inc. It's located at 5050 and 5100 Kettering Road in Brooksville. It's on the east side of Kettering Road, south of Cortez Boulevard. It is zoned industrial, and it has 193.6 usable and gross acres. This is an industrial distribution warehouse property. There are several structures on the building. The year built and effective ages vary from 1992 to 1997. 1992 and 1992 and 2002 and 2002. The building has a total leasable square foot of 1,485,520 square feet. You can see at the bottom of page 19, I've kind of given just a general summary of each structure, the construction, the year built, effective age, the leasable, and gross square footage. You turn to page 20. I have shown, again, permit history for the subject property. From 2016 to 2017, they have permits that totaling value that were issued and finalized totaling $5,167,540. In 2019, the permits that were issued but were not finalized yet total $12,027,105. And then finally, there's a small amount of permits, little less than 65,000, that are opened and have not been finalized yet. And when they are, if they are in 2020, they'll be put on the 2021 tax roll. You can see on pages 20 and 21, I've given just a screenshot of the permit history from our system, which is just what I summarized on the prior page. Page 22 is the beginning of my valuation section. I completed, first of all, a cost approach, and I provided a comparable land sale map with aerial photographs. If you turn to page 28 and 29, please. I used three comparable land sales located in Hillsborough, Polk, and Pasco counties. Comparable land sales this size were very difficult to find. I found sales that sold from May of 19 up to January of 2020. They had differing zonings and differing sizes, and I adjusted the land sales for time, as well as location, size and shape, and zoning. I arrived at a value of $17,000 per usable acre for a final value of the land of $3,291,200. You'll please turn to page 32. Pages 32, 33, and 34 show a cost approach. You can see that I have gone through the five various structures on the property to complete a cost approach. After my base building costs, AC adjustments, sprinkler adjustments, and multiplier adjustments, I came to a total building improvement cost of $62,947,671. Then at that point, I added in site improvement costs. On page 34, you can see that I've included indirect costs as well as entrepreneurial incentive. Then I've estimated depreciation for a total depreciated value of the improvements of $50,598,754, and I've added in the land value for a final value of $53,889,954. Beginning on page 35 is my sales comparison approach, and I've included photographs and a map of the comparable sales. If you go to page 44, I've included on pages 44 and 45 a comparable improved sales chart. I've used five sales located in Marion, Duval, Polk, Sarasota, and Hillsborough counties that sold from June of 2016 up to October of 2019. I did adjust one of the sales for conditions of sale. On the next page, you can see that I made a time adjustment as well as considered location, age, condition, quality design, percentage of office space, size, and land to building ratio. I came to a value of $35 per leasable square foot for a final value in the sales comparison approach of $51,993,200. I did, you can see on page 46, I mentioned that I did look at some comparable rentals, vacancies, expenses, and cap rates, and I was able to come up to a similar value that I had derived in the sales and cost approach. But I felt that because this is an owner-occupied property with a single-tenant design, that it was really not applicable to use the income approach. My final reconciliation of value was $52,941,577. Beginning on page 41, I have included an article about Walmart, as well as the property record cards and Marshall Valuation Service pages that I use to derive the cost, and some legal information as well.
Okay. Quick question on sale one that you have in here. Kmart Sears Distribution Center, was that vacant?
I believe it was a sale leaseback. And so I made a conditions of sale adjustment. I would have to double check here. Bear with me. believe I have my co-star right up in here, so that's what I was looking at. I guess I do not. Yes, I believe that that one was a sale leaseback, so it was occupied. But I had such difficulty finding sales, so I went ahead and used that and then just adjusted in conditions of sale for that sale leaseback. Fact.
All right. Mr. Boyne, you can go ahead.
Great. Thank you.
If you guys like it, same as what you see, you like it.
As long as it's what you've emailed to me, then.
It is what I emailed you. Oh, this one has page numbers.
Okay, so that's
it's
fine.
The same thing.
When I
printed them, I realized I forgot to put page numbers on.
Okay.
And there is one error. I'll come to it at the end. It's the same. The error is on your thing, too. Nothing's different.
Okay.
I'll point it out. Let me just give a little bit of background on kind of why I filed this petition. It looks like from the previous year, we saw an increase on the building value of about $2.7 million on this particular DC. It's not really something we've had an issue with historically. That's why we chose to petition it, and that's why I'm here today. Just to give you a little bit of background about this property, it was one of two distribution centers in the U.S. where we tried to automate. It was a catastrophic failure. We spent a lot of money on some really nice equipment to have a section of this DC that was going to be fully automated. It was something that if it went well, we were going to roll it out nationwide. We did it at the one here in Brooksville, and we also did it in Mebane, North Carolina. The equipment, I visited this DC last in 2018. At that point, the equipment was more or less sitting idle, and I think it's been ripped out now. We even had a lawsuit filed with the company that promised it. I don't really know what the outcome of that was, but just a little bit of background on this DC. So if you flip to the second page in my package, this is tough to look at, but I'm gonna kind of walk you through it. What they're doing here is they're estimating, I guess, utilization of you know, how much the DC's capacity and what it's supposed to be used. And in the top right corner, you'll see the figures for 2016 and 2017. Back then, it was running pretty heavily. If you come down to the bottom, I'm going to draw a box around it. I have those same figures, but I had to add them to the PDF. It doesn't look quite as pretty. It's this section right down here. You see 2018 DC utilization, min max. You'll see it's running a whole lot less. I think that's because they were, as you'll see with the permitting cost that was taken out in 2019, they had to repurpose this to get rid of the automated equipment and everything like that. So this DC hasn't been running at nearly the levels it has been running at historically. So I think that's relevant. Page three, though, is where I tried to just value this as a distribution center. And you'll see on page three, I compared it to four other DCs, two of which I actually have in common with the property appraiser, and those are probably the two best ones. Two located here in the state. The first one is that Sears Kmart DC in Ocala. And it is interesting. I wasn't able to find a ton of detail on it. I did put the CoStar report in here for it. It's kind of back. But there wasn't a whole lot of information as to what was going on with it. If it is occupied by Sears and Kmart, they're not running a whole lot of trucks out of there anymore. So even if they do have it, I mean, they filed for bankruptcy, so there's not much going on there. I would note, though, the Marion County property appraiser didn't enroll a value anywhere near that. They accepted the sale, but they actually enrolled a value of $58 a foot. I think that comes out to – sorry, I'm sorry, much lower. They enrolled a value of $28 a foot or $58 million at the time of sale. We both used the that DC comp there in Jacksonville, $27 a foot. I think it is worth noting Jacksonville is obviously – you know. Bills itself as the logistics capital of the USA. Land value is a little bit higher in Duval County. There's a little bit more competition for DC space in Jacksonville than there is in, you know, a pretty rural part of Hernando County. The two others are probably less relevant. They're located out of the state, but when you put a distribution center as large as this one, you're generally distributing regionally. State lines become less relevant for things like that. So I found an average here of $23 a foot, though I think the first two, if you adjust that first one down, I think we can agree 70 is probably somewhat above market. A value probably in the 20s is more appropriate. So on the next page, page four, I actually did attempt to look at the income approach. And yeah, this is owner occupied. If somebody were to buy this, we would never sell this DC. We have never ever done that, nor would we. But if you're trying to, you know, establish what it could lease for, there actually is a fair amount of rental information across the state, though most of it is kind of coming from the I-4 corridor. I've got, let's see, five rental comps on here. I have a small one in Tampa. This is not a great comp, but it's lease. It's 200,000 square feet of warehouse space listed, renting for $350. Comparable number two actually is, that's interesting. Yeah, it is the Sears Kmart facility, and it's leasing at $4.50 a foot. That's for the whole shebang. Comparable number three right there is a pretty small amount of space in Green Cove Springs, just outside of Jacksonville, at $350. I've got another large warehouse in Jacksonville at $450, and then finally, my last comp on there is it's in Lakeland. It's a distribution center, and it's brand new. In fact, I think it's being built. That's speculative rents. You're seeing a lot of that go up on the I-4 corridor, that you'll have rental rates available for rent before the thing even opens up. And so what's telling to me is that if you have a brand new facility in what is a well-known growing distribution corridor, they're only looking to lease, you know, a size half of this for $495 a foot. That indicates to me, and a facility as old and segregated as this one up here on land that is pretty low valued in a non-distribution corridor, you'd probably expect to see a rental rate lower than that. So on page five, you can see my income approach. And I looked at all those rental rates and basically took into account that if you compare this to all those other stores, this is in the lowest valued land. It's in the least populated area. It has, you know, you could never turn this into fulfillment because there's not enough orders to fulfill in the area. And, you know, it's old and it's a little bit segregated in its design. So I went with the lowest rental rate I had from over there, $3.50. I didn't do anything too spectacular. I took a 12% reduction for vacancy. Again, we're only running this thing at 50% capacity and we own it. So if you're going to lease it up, they'd probably have a vacancy number higher than 12, frankly. Expenses, I ran 3% reserves. I ran 6% expenses through. Nothing that spectacular. And I used a cap rate of 9.75%. Admittedly, I don't really have a whole lot of – it's tough to back that up with a whole lot of anything because there aren't any cap rates for anything like this. But I think that's probably a reasonable return. This would not be an attractive property for an investor to buy. Works for Walmart's plan. It works great for a company like Walmart that can distribute stuff all over the state like we do. But even us, we're only running it at half capacity. So that came out with an indicated value of $43 million. When I did the reconciliation for my sales comparison approach, I estimated a value of $44 million. That's not very far off from what's currently on the roll. I think the property appraiser's office found a just value of $45.6. As I said, I wasn't really too concerned with the value last year. I took issue with the increase on the improvement value. And the permitting costs that you'll see, it's not that we did some big pretty renovation to it. It's that we ripped out a whole bunch of failing equipment. So the whole objective after that was just to get it back up to like it was before, to basically reconciling this big failure we had. And it was our doing. We did it. I mean, the company we worked with sold us bad equipment. But we took something that had a problem and we want to just turn it back and put it back into our distribution system. So nothing crazy here. We're not looking to chop the value. Honestly, I just want to see my improvement values back to about where they were last year. And I think there's enough evidence out in the marketplace to support that. Thank you.
Okay. Question back to this their sale one, which is your rental comparable, the sale leaseback. Where is the... you've got the rental rate at $350, right?
I believe. Hold on. Let me get back to that page. For the one that is the sale one in Ocala, I have the rental rate on that at $450, and that might be. Let's see. I'll have my rental support in here. I'm trying to find it real quick. I don't know if that's an asking rate or if that's an actual.
Indicating that it's a sale lease back, so it should be an actual rate.
Yeah,
but
see,
I don't know where that number came from. Maybe it was backed into, I don't know.
That may very well have been. I actually have the CoStar pulled up in front of me. Let me take a look at it. This is where I got it. I'm looking at the CoStar right now for this particular thing.
Yeah.
And it's, when you look at the CoStar page, it just says space first floor, available 1.9 million square feet, rent 450. I don't think there's much more detail beyond that. And I understand this isn't my packet. I'm just telling you what I'm seeing right here.
Okay.
So I think I took that at face value.
And you guys didn't do it. Comments?
Oh, yes. Okay. First of all, Mr. Alcoin, I'll just call you Jerry because it's easier.
I like Jerry. That's just fine.
Had indicated that their values have increased from last year. Values are going up. It's something that I follow and look at. And these properties, this one in particular, has been filed on every year for the last 3 years, regardless of what the value is. Even though it's irrelevant, we really need to be looking at 2020. I want to point out to Jerry that in this state, I know you had mentioned that what another county has a property assessed at compared to the sale price. We are not, everyone has a misconception that we are supposed to assess at a certain percent of market value, and that's completely incorrect. It's within a stratum or grouping of properties, an overall average, and I can't control what other counties, how they assess, and vice versa. Secondly, regarding the sale leaseback property, I read CoStar articles every morning. One thing that I have seen two articles recently come up about is how what Sears did is they went and sold off portions of their company to a related entity, and I, for the life of me, can't remember their name. And then what that company's plan is to start restructuring for a smaller store format, and how they used to do back in the day where you would order from a catalog and you would go to that store and pick it up, or they would ship it to that store. So that's what Sears' plan is as far as that one comparable sale goes. So we had our office, I was not there, Kim Ortiz and Doug Mack had also gone out to the distribution center in 2018. They had, Kim, and correct me if I'm wrong, what they were told and they had observed while they were there is there was a section of the store that was initially used for e-commerce. And they pulled all these permits to do all this work over the years for their robotics equipment to go into that space. I am the coordinator over both the tangible personal property and the commercial real property department. Kim is one of the tangible specialists in the tangible personal property department. They have filed for that robotics equipment that Jerry is saying they're no longer using, or they're not using to capacity, for 2020. So I'm wondering what is going on with this space if they still are filing for this equipment at that location.
Sure. So I'm sure we indicated when we filed that the equipment was idle. Certainly, we indicated that the robotics equipment isn't being used. I didn't file the rendition, but I'm certain that was indicated on there. I'm gonna guess we probably offered up, we probably listed an opinion of value on the rendition for the robotics equipment of something like 5% of its purchase cost or something really small like that. It may very well be sitting there. Some of it. The problem is, It's a giant robotic arm, ultimately, that has a large software component to it, and it's something that's really expensive. It's a really expensive thing. It's just not doing anything. It's just there. And so the way the racking was set up here was you had, ideally, in a world where this system works, you have an area with a whole bunch, but much more dense racking, because when you have humans going through there, you know, you have to have spacing issues and drive forklifts. But when you have these carts, they can run back really quickly, and you can put everything in there a lot more densely. That stuff doesn't really cost a whole lot. What costs a whole lot is the software behind it and basically the robotic arm that, when everything comes back out, it should be able to sort everything and sort a pallet to send it out to a truck like almost instantly. So if I think it was included on the return, but I would be shocked to find out if they didn't make some sort of mention of it not operating, because it's not operating.
Did they that you
in the 2020 tangible tax return, nothing was mentioned that it's idle and it was not removed, any of this equipment. They have three big pieces of equipment and all of them are filed again on 2020 with no mention of being idle.
I've been to the distribution center. I've spoke to everybody out there. I've been told that it's idle. It is idle. It's not being done, so I'm surprised they didn't make any mention of that in the rendition. I didn't file a rendition. I think even if we said it was idle, the contention might be it doesn't matter. It's there, so whatever. But, I've been told it's idle. I've seen it not running.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to figure out.
I didn't file a rendition, so I don't know.
Right, and the point I'm trying to make is, if that space is in fact, if there is in utility in this building, but yet they're filing for the full equipment, and he's saying it's idle, but they're not telling us that, which makes me, I'm shocked, because they usually would. And I guess my other point is, one thing I wanted to point out in the evidence is that, they want us to look at this as if it were, their opinion of is that market value is fee simple, meaning it would be vacant and available for sale or new occupancy. It's my opinion as an appraiser that that is not the definition of fee simple, first of all. Second of all, if it is, they want us to look at it like that, then we shouldn't be looking at in utility, because then we're taking into the account who's in that building. So we have to go one way or the other. And it's my opinion that you need to look at fee simple, market value. It's a single tenant owner occupied building. It's highly unlikely that it's going to be leased. It's highly unlikely that it's going to be empty. I think if Walmart was going to do that, they probably would have done that a long time ago. That's just my opinion. I think they would have moved to a city like Jacksonville, where I lived for several years, which is up and coming and booming and everything else. Or they would have moved out to the Tampa area, where when you look at the rent comps out there, they're brand new, beautiful buildings that are either proposed or built in 2019, 2020. And they're probably, better efficiency and so on and so forth, because they're these newer buildings. So again, I'm questioning all of this. I'm questioning that the income approach should even be considered. Furthermore, I know when you will look at this, you'll see, I think the last two comparable sales that he had included. One of them was an REO sale, and you'll see that on the CoStar. And one of them also a deferred maintenance, which concerns me.
Which one is that?
If you look on his page 10,
it's
95 Innovation Way. Correct. And sale conditions are deferred maintenance. And it talks about it in the description, how the buyer, I believe, had to put on a new roof and redo the parking areas. It was financed by a loan which exceeded the total purchase price. So that raises some concern for me. And the one in... on Tom Starling Road in North Carolina, it says on there it's an REO sale. This is his page 14. And that's all I have.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to add?
Just a couple quick comments. Just regarding those that sale in Georgia and the sale in North Carolina, I didn't really rely on those. You can see our opinion of value is much higher than those. I really relied on the two Florida sales. Regarding my income approach, I reference this just to show that if you can, rent something in pretty big markets for pretty low values, the assumption would be that they probably lease for a little bit lower here. I want to point out just a couple of things on the report that was provided to me by the property appraiser, and I want to focus only on their sales comparison, because I think that's what both of us really discussed. They listed sale comparison number 3 is an Amazon fulfillment center. This is a distribution center. That's an entirely different construction type. That's not a relevant comparable. And sale comparison number 5 is an Amazon DC. That's certainly a leased fee sale or a sale leaseback or something like that. That's a transaction like that to me. And I don't think they relied on it very much, but I think there's some terms to that sale that really make it look nothing like what we're doing here. But at the end of the day, our variance isn't a whole lot. It's just we have to think about what a 1.5 million square foot facility, you know, sitting not even in Brooksville, in rural Orlando County would sell for. And, you know, at the end of the day, I to say that industrial is going up, that may be, but I don't see a whole lot of increased competition for industrial properties here. So I really see nothing that indicates that the value of this property here. Well, actually, they even lowered the land value. But to say that, you know, the improvement value should be going up, I don't see anything that indicates it for a specific DC in Hernando County. That's all we're looking for.
Okay. Anything else?
No, I'm done.
Okay. All right. Let's we'll conclude the hearing and go off the record.